Good evening. Thanks for joining for messages from the Midrash for Parshat Emor. Parshat Emor begins with certain laws for the Kohanim in terms of their purity and impurity. And then the Parshat goes on to discuss things that disqualify Kohen from working in the Beis HaMikdash, certain kinds of blemishes. From there, we go on to discuss blemishes that disqualify an animal from being offered and other halachos related to Korbanot. And then we go on to discuss some of the holidays, some of the characteristics of the holidays that are found in the Torah. And at the end of the Parsha, a little more discussion on the Beit HaMikdash, and finally a narrative about a person who is a blasphemer. So we'll focus on a couple of these themes. The Parsha begins, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe, Emor al Kohanim b'nei Aharon, say to the Kohanim, the sons of Aharon, Vamarta alehem, and say to them, L'nefesh lo yitamah be'amav, the person should not contaminate themselves to a dead person among his people. That is the Art Scroll translation. So the Midrash picks up on the fact that there's a repetition of Emor al Kohanim, say to the Kohanim, Vamarta alehem, and say to them. So why does it have to repeat this word say two times? So Zesha Amar HaKatuv, this is related to Pasuk in Tehillim, Yimrot Hashem Amarot Tehorot. The sayings of Hashem are pure sayings. Here also we have the repetition of the shorash of Amar, of saying. All of Hashem's sayings are pure. So the Midrash learns from this. Akol ma she'Kadosh Baruch Hu Masir Yisrael b'shvil kiddush atan v'taharatan. Everything that Kadosh Baruch Hu cautions us against is for the sake of our holiness and our purity. That's a very powerful reminder. Sometimes we get lost in the purpose of mitzvot, whether or not it matters. You know, we do everything because Hashem commanded, but sometimes we're trying to understand deeper. It doesn't feel like it's good enough to just know that we're doing something because Hashem commanded, but we want to understand what's this accomplishing. And the Midrash makes it very clear that everything that the Kadosh Baruch Hu told us to do is for our sanctity and our purity. And I'll discuss in a second what the distinction is. But even when it comes to Tuman Torah itself, so one might want to understand what's Tuman Torah about and why did Kadosh Baruch Hu command us to be pure? The Sefer HaChinuch says, just like the Midrash, that he has absolutely no doubt that everything that Hashem commanded us, in Shum Safek, there's no doubt, Gamkin ki Av Kol HaTavos, the father of all good, Hashem would not command us to do anything that wasn't for our good and for our benefit, to distance us from any sort of injury, damage, anything that would be detrimental to us. So it's a very powerful idea that there's certain things that the reason, you know, how this operates, why it operates this way, it's not something that we entirely understand, but everything, every mitzvah that we do and everything that the Torah tells us to do is meant to help us be the best of ourselves and to live the best lives we possibly can in this world. And I certainly feel like if I'm in the zone where I'm reaching my best potential as an Eved Hashem, that's when I feel like that my life is in shape, my life is in order, I'm happy, everything is working out well, I feel like, you know, I'm on a good path. I'm not engaged in anything that's bringing me down. But sometimes we think that, you know, things that are pleasurable for us sometimes are not things that are necessarily good for us. But when we follow the Torah, we do everything b'dusha tahara. It helps us come closer to God and helps us live to our best potential. What is, and that's Havei Imrot Hashem Amarot Torot. This is what's meant by Imrot Hashem Amarot Torot. Every saying from Hashem is a pure saying. It's meant for our purity. Imre Amos points out that lifnei kol kedusha tzricha lios tahara. Before we reach kedusha, we have to have tahara. So tahara, as we discussed when we discussed the mitzvah of tuman tahara last year. So Rav Moshe Lichtenstein has a good essay where he really elucidates this, that the purity tahara, he says, is the normal natural state of the world. It's not inherently worthy or valued, but simply neutral, right? If I'm tahor, it means I'm not tamein. It means I have not become contaminated. Whereas kedusha is a deviation from nature, he says, in the positive sense, that it's enhancement of nature through positive action and elevation. So tuma is kind of is a state of having come in contact with something that's deficient. When we're tahor, that means we're just at a normal neutral state. And then from there, we can go on to the ability to be kadosh. So sometimes we throw those two words, kedusha and tahara, together. They are sort of two separate things. Of course, being tamei is not necessarily, it's not an avera to be tamei, it's not necessarily a bad thing. But still, we want to be sort of in the best natural state. And that gives us the ability, once we're kind of, you know, it's an example could be, you know, if somebody's sick, it's hard to meet your fullest potential. If you're not sick, if you're healthy, so then you kind of are left in the balance to choose whether to use that health for productive purposes or not. So that's where Kedusha comes in, that we make those distinctions that bring us to an even higher level than the natural state. Then the Midrash goes on to say, Davar Acher, another interpretation, and Moral Kohanim Vamart Aleihem, Hare Amira Shnei Pamim. It says Amira, it says say to them two times. So Mashal Mahadavar Dome. What is this analogous to? L'tabach Shai Nichnas V'yotzev Nei HaMelech. Similar to a butcher who, or a cook, it's someone who's preparing the meat, who goes in and out from the king. Amar HaMelech, the king says, Gozer Ni'alacha Shalot Tira Tamet Kol Yamecha. You should never come in contact with a dead body. Right? Obviously, that animal he has to come in contact with, but not a dead human. Why is that? You come in, you see me, and your job is to bring me joy through serving me, and to bring me feasts. So if you're coming before me for that purpose, you shouldn't defile my palace. So Beit HaMikdash is supposed to be a place of atonement, supposed to represent our highest aspirations as Jews. So Kohanim who are serving that purpose, bringing in Tuma, again, not that Tuma is always a negative thing, but the concept of the Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't fit in. It's not appropriate. So, that's why a person, a Kohen, should never come in contact with a dead body. Right? My parish on the Midrash explains that the repetition of Amor Ve'amarta, and also you have Kohanim B'nei Aron, that it's not only at the time of their worship in the Beis HaMikdash that they're supposed to guard their purity, but even when they're not in the Beis HaMikdash, they also have to guard their purity, right? So the more of it, Amarta can be, again, Kedusha Tahara, it also referred to Mitzvos Aseh and Lo Taseh, positive and negative commandments, but also to the Kohanim, both when they're serving the Beit HaMikdash and when they're not serving in the Beit HaMikdash. Okay. As I think a similar idea comes forth in a midrash related to the lulav that comes up later in the parsha. We're going to go a little bit out of order of the parsha, but the themes are going to lead from one to another. So we have the mitzvah to take the lulav, open the pasuk, it's Perakaf Gimel, chapter 30, verse 40. Should take for yourselves on the first day. So these are the four species, the etrog, the lulav, the adas, and the aravat. Should rejoice before Hashem for 7 days. Actually, a number of midrashim here relate to the lulav, right? Not so many midrashim on the other yamin tovim, but lulav receives attention here. So Zesha Amar Kato, this is related to the saying, Shema b'ni v'kach amarai. Listen, my son, and take in my words. Mitzvotai titzbon, and treasure my commandments. Shema b'ni v'kach arbe l'kicho tziviti lachem b'shvil l'zakot etchem. There are many things I told you to take, and it's in order to give you merit. Right? So a similar idea that we saw in the previous midrash, that many mitzvot are meant to just give us either their actual benefit that we gain personally, or just the benefit of having done mitzvot. So we have the saying that we say before Kaddish Ratzah Kodesh Baruch Hu Zakot Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give us merit. Lefichach yiralam Torah mitzvot. Hashem gave us many Torah mitzvot. And Mefarshim, the Mishnah explained that, you know, the certain mitzvot that Hashem didn't have to make it a mitzvah, and we would still have done it anyway. But when we fulfill that mitzvah, we are accruing credits, we're accruing merit in the process. So there are many mitzvahs Hashem told us to take things, and that taking is for our benefit. So Marti Lachem, I said to you, you should take for yourselves a red heifer. So Shem Bishvili, maybe, what, it's for me that you're doing the mitzvah paradama? I only did it in order to give you the opportunity to become pure. That's why the Torah says that the clean person shall sprinkle it upon the unclean person, in order to make them tahor, so that they can come into the Beis HaMikdash, to come close to Hashem, to be able to partake in korbanot. But in order to be able to come close to Hashem, so even though we come in contact with Tumah, Hashem wanted to benefit us with the process of becoming tahor. Then the Midrash gives another example. Amarti lachem veikhuli truma. You should take for me a portion. So lo bishvil she'ador beinecham. What? It's only for the purpose that I should be able to. I should be able to dwell among you. Dichtiv asu li mikdash. That you should make for me a mikdash. So davar kasha. This is difficult. It's difficult to build a Mishkan. And what we're doing it for Hashem's benefit. So Kaviyachal Amar Lahem, Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying to the Jewish people, Hu otisha ador b'nechem, take me so that I should dwell among you. Bichu truma inktiv, doesn't say just to take a portion. Ela bichu li truma, oti atam lochem, you're taking me as a portion in order that I should dwell among you, that I should, again, be close to you. The benefit of this is that Kodesh Baruch Hu is accessible to us. Then another example, Marti lachem yichu elecha shemen zayit zach. Another example is, the Torah says, I said to you, and let them bring unto you pure olive oil. Lama, what's the purpose of the olive oil? L'halot ner tamid, in order to have the eternal lamp. V'chi or mishalachem ani tzarich, do I need your light? What benefit? Hashem created light. Why does Hashem need our light? It will be shvil lishmor nafshoticham, in order to preserve your souls. Shenim shula hanefesh b'ner. The soul is akin to light. Shenim arner Hashem nishmat adam. The candle of Hashem is the soul of a person. So there too, when it comes to the mitzvah of the menorah, it's not because Hashem needs a light, but through the light that is sanctified to Hashem, it lights up our soul. It helps us come closer to Hashem and to be able to fulfill Hashem's will, and that gives us benefit. So it also says, take for yourselves on the first day. So Hashem doesn't need us to take a palm tree and a citron, and willows and myrtles. What does Hashem need? What does Hashem need from us with those items? So lo bishvil she'anitza, it's not because I need them, el bishvil zakorotchem, in order that I should give you merit. So in Sukkot, we're judged upon water for the year, and we take items that need water in order to grow. So when we take these natural items, we bring them together, not just for our personal purposes, but for Hashem. So that gives us the reward of doing a mitzvah, of serving Hashem, and that gives us benefit, that gives us merit. So the purpose of this mitzvah of lulav is for ourselves. The Midrash goes on, discusses something that's very well known. Probably heard this in some capacity or another. So the Midrash goes on to describe the four species, Pre Eitz Hadar, a beautiful fruit from the tree, Kapot Tmarim, branches of palm trees, Vanap Eitz Avot, boughs of dense trees, which are the hadasim, the myrtle, ve'arvi nachal, and the willows of the brook. What's the nature of these things? What do they represent? So mehem she'osim peirot, some of them produce fruit. Mehem she'en osim peirot, some of them produce fruit and some of them don't. Pri etz hadar kapot marim elu tzadikim. So when it comes to the date tree and the etrog tree, So they make fruit, and these are the tzaddikim, the righteous people. Sheyesh lahem ma'asim tovim. The fruit that righteous people create is through their good deeds, right? Every time we do a good deed, we are participating in the process of creation. We're creating fruits, creating things that benefit, yes, ourselves, but also other people. And they fulfill Hashem's will. So these are the tzaddikim. These are the average people in the Jewish people. So often the version of this that we hear is that each species represents something else. And in fact, the Benoni aspect comes up a little bit, but here there's no mention of our vote being representing somebody who doesn't have Torah or Ma'asim Tovim. In fact, Torah doesn't even come up at all in this Midrash, although I think Torah and Ma'asim Tovim would seem to go together. But you have tzaddikim, and you have the average people. Everybody should come together and make one unit. So there shouldn't be anything disqualified among my sons. Who builds his upper chamber in the heavens and founds his celestial vault upon earth. So when is Hashem exalted? When they come together as one unit, and found his celestial vault, his aguda, on earth. Everybody coming together, entire Jewish people coming together. Now, Bikuri Aviv says that there is benefit that even the righteous person gains through the aguda, because if you're so righteous that you become self-righteous and you decide to separate from other people because you see yourselves as being too good, you don't want to become influenced by the other people. So ironically, that can turn somebody into a Balgaiva, into somebody who's haughty, which would be the worst of situations, one of the worst of traits. So even the righteous person is kept in check by being with everybody together. And at the same time, those who are on the lower rungs, maybe people who aren't necessarily the best people, the best Jews, are becoming part of the Aguda, so they gain benefit from that also. Our tradition endorses that. We don't say that that people who are not the best, we don't have an idea that they should be kept separate and should be left out to fend for themselves, but they're included in part of the community. Right? In Yom Kippur, we say, Anu matirin palel im ha'ar v'yarnim, that we allow ourselves to daven with those who sin. There's also the idea that the word zibur, the word community, is an acronym for tzadikim beinonim rasha'im, that in order to be a true community, it needs to include tzadikim beinonim, the average people, and rasha'im, and the wicked people, those who sin. So all of those coming together is something that Hashem wants. That's something that we do by bringing together the lulav and that itself. If we go back to the beginning of the midrash, so that is a zchut for everybody. That's something that benefits everybody else. While we're sort of on this subject of the lulav and midrashim related to the symbolism of the lulav, there's another midrash here, also with an idea that we might have heard before, ukachtam lachem, should take for yourselves. Zeh she'amar hakatuv, this is the 19th midrash in Tanchuma for Amor. Zeh she'amar hakatuv kol atmatai tomarna Hashem michamoko. All my bones shall say, Hashem, who is like you? Yafa amar David she'amar pasuk hazeh. David stated the idea in this verse beautifully. The lulav represents the spine. The willow is like the lips. Sorry, the myrtle is like the eyes. Sorry, but the willow represents the lips. The etrog and the etrog is like the heart. Mar David, you have no greater organs than these, since they represent the most important parts of the body, most functional, beneficial parts of the body. Shkulin hen keneged haguf, so they correspond with the whole body. In importance, heve kol asmotai, so all of my bones should say who is like you. So when we take the lulav and we shake it, especially when we do halal. Halal is when we say Hashem yichamocha, when we praise Hashem that there's none other like Hashem. So we take the upper meaning together, we use them to avodat Hashem, so it's like we're taking our entire body together in order to serve and to praise Hashem, right? Avodat Hashem, I think there's even sources that discuss how different what parts of the body are used for different mitzvahs, but there's a mitzvah that could be accomplished by pretty much any part in our body, and our job is to make sure that we use all of those together, bring them all together. We are managers in the sense that we have to make sure that they all come together in order to serve Hashem. Then I want to end with one last midrash. I think has a beautiful message. So earlier in the parsha, before we get into the Moadim, so there's discussion on Korbanot. So the Pasuk says, this is Kaftet, V'chi, the wrong parsha here for a second. Chumash got flipped. When you slaughter a feast of Thanksgiving to Hashem, you shall slaughter it to gain favor for yourselves. This talks about the Korban Todah, Thanksgiving offering, which is discussed in Tzav, but it's mentioned here as well. All korbanos are going to cease. They will not be offered anymore. The korban toda eino batal olam. But the korban toda will never cease. It will never end its functioning. So what's going on here? So it's not that certain mitzvos are going to be canceled out, and that gets discussed. There's even some who try to discuss the notion that that the korbanos are going to be canceled out. So the Perush that I have explains that when it comes to korbanot tzibur and so. Communal sacrifices, individual sacrifices that are obligatory at particular times, so those will still remain. But when it comes to korbanot, let's say that come from sin or from calamity, so things that maybe won't exist in a better time in Yemot HaMashiach, we won't need those anymore. So those are the ones that are going to be canceled out. Right? So it's not that things that are obligatory, things that are actually, it's not like we're gonna stop having Pesach. It's not that we're gonna stop having Sukkot and the like. But it's not that we're gonna stop davening. But so things that are positive, active obligations will still exist. But things that are situational that come from situations that we hope won't exist. So those will be batel because it'll be a better world. But still, Korban Todah, the notion of giving a Thanksgiving offering, so that's something that will never, never cease to exist. And Midrash goes on to say, Kol ha'adayot b'teilin. So when it comes to things related to tefillah that come from situations that, distressing situations and the like that, in a better time won't exist, so those will be canceled out. But ha'adayot todah eino b'teil olam. But the tefillah related to thanking Hashem, that will never ever cease to exist. So how do Hudikhtiv calls Asam calls him Khako Khatan Kol Kawako Amrim Hodu as Hashem Svakot? So at one point in time, the voice of a celebration, the bride and groom, will be heard, and the voice of Hodu et Hashem Svakot, the voice of praising Hashem, he told Hashem ki olam chasdo, nevim toda beis Hashem. So the voice of giving thanks to Hashem and the act of bringing thanksgiving to Hashem, so that's something that will always, always exist, even in the days of Mashiach. Right? So when it says, when the Pasuk says, Nevim Toda Beis Hashem, so that's talking about the Korban Toda. The Korban Toda will be brought during that time. L'chein David Amar, Alay Elkim Nidarecha. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, your vows, O God, are upon me. I will pay you with thanksgiving. Ashalem todot lach. I will repay with thanksgiving. So tada im tikan ela todot. Ha'odayah v'korban todot. There will be the tila of thanksgiving, and there will also be the korban of thanksgiving. There will be the sacrifice of thanksgiving. That will always exist. So two things to note here. One, the Maharal discusses the korban todah has two opposing elements, as chametz and as matzah. And anytime you have anything that sort of contradicts anything that are opposing ideas, so that's something that comes from Hashem. Right? We have that in the Seder, that there's dialectical elements at the Seder. There's suffering and redemption, so many different parts of the Seder. The matzah, mar, haroset, abrakosah represent those different parts. So all those come from Hashem. And likewise, the korban todah also, right, when you come from a moment where you can't expect anything possibly to happen, right? Things look a little bit bleak, and what could possibly come? But then Hashem comes and performs miracle, and likewise, all miracles come from Hashem. That's what's represented from the korban todah, the salvation from a trying time. But the Be'er Moshe explains that the idea of bringing hoda al hoda, the idea of bringing of praising Hashem, thanking Hashem, praise upon praise, that the ability to be able to give praise itself is a reason for praise, right? When we say modim derabanan, we begin modim anachnu lach. We begin by saying we praise you, Hashem. And then towards the end, it says al shanachnu modim lach. Even just for the ability to praise Hashem is something that we appreciate. So something that will always exist, even if there's no direct tzara that we experience at a later time. That itself, that we're able to bring a korban todah just for the fact that we have a life and a good life, that itself is a reason for bringing a korban. And that's something for us always to be looking out for in our lives. That, the moments when things are just good, we don't have to look for things that, we don't have to look for the negative things that we have to think about and respond to, but just the fact that we have something good in life is itself a reason to give gratitude. We wake up in the morning, modani lefanacha. Nothing has necessarily happened, but the ability just to be in a place where we can say modani lefanacha is itself a reason to praise Hashem. And that's something that this midrash is conveying, that even if there's nothing else that's going on in the world, everything's neutral, and we think, okay, so it's just status quo, but that itself, all the good that we have, maybe going back to the beginning, the fact that we have Tahara that can lead to Kedushah, the fact that everything is just in a good place that can lead us to even better places, that itself is a reason for Thanksgiving. We should be always looking for those opportunities to give gratitude, to thank Hashem just for the ability to be